This is The Immigrant View, a podcast for immigrants by immigrants. Welcome to the show. The Immigrant View is brought to you by immigrantnetworks.com.
Sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a fantastic podcast. I'm really excited to be here today. I had a cup of coffee about an hour ago, and it is leaving my system. So I am getting tired. But we have someone here who has the energy to keep me going, and the mission is keeping me going. We have this fantastic conversation. We had a part A of the conversation, which you probably have listened to at this point. And now we're moving into part B and part C, where we start to talk about the interview process and anything else that comes with that. We have our career coach, our career guide with us, our guru that has years of experience when it comes to this area, helping and serving not just immigrants, but also individuals that are looking to find jobs. That's what she does. We have Eunice Asante with us. Eunice, I only know one phrase, Etisan, that's it.
That's all you need to know. That will get you by, I'm telling you.
Not an Aquaba. I'm good. Well, it's a pleasure having you. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me back. You know, I really enjoyed being on last time, and yeah, I'm just grateful to be back and talk through interviewing and how candidates can really stand out and be successful at interview. So yeah, I'm really excited for this one, because I think hopefully it'll be able to help lots of people. Fantastic. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Fantastic. So let's dive right in. We've taught people about finding. Now they found, or they've been found. Mm-hmm. They were lost, but now they're fine. Blind, but now they're sorry. I had to go there. Sorry. They've gone through all that. Now they've been called for an interview. Mm-hmm. Would love your thoughts. There's the excitement. There's the joy. First of all, before we even dive in, let me ask this question, because this has happened to me before. Mm-hmm. You're just minding your own business one day. You get a call. Your pickup is a recruiter. It wasn't mm-hmm. scheduled, and they want to talk to you. Do you reschedule the conversation for when you're prepared, or do you just wing it and go with it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because it's happened to me more than once.
What did you do?
The first time I rescheduled, the second time I think I didn't care anymore and I winged it.
Yeah.
When I winged it, I got the job. When I rescheduled, I didn't get the job.
Isn't that interesting? You know, I think it really depends on the type of person that you are and the position that you are applying for. And you know within yourself, if it's a position that I can do this, I've got this, I can talk about this, you know, you know if it's that type of position. Or you know if actually you're not too sure, you're not too confident. So I'd say it really depends on you and how you feel about the position and which type of person that you are. Some people, I'm kind of like, I'm the type of person that I thrive off, you know, I've got the energy, I can think quickly. I thrive in being in like difficult situations. So I would kind of go, no, I'm ready. Let's do this now. But I wouldn't advise that to everyone. So my husband likes to be really structured, really prepared. So he would not do well with, you know, yep, let's go. He needs, no, let's reschedule this. And so I really think it depends on the person. I don't think there's a right or wrong. Absolutely not. It's so funny because people hate interviews. Like interviews, it's the dreaded interview, isn't it? People hate interviews. But through just my work, I figured out that, and my past experience, I figured out that there's a recipe to being successful at job interviews. It's understanding how to tell the story of who you are, but doing it in a way that highlights how you will deliver on the needs of the role and how you will add value to the organization. And as long as you can do this, it really just elevate you and how you present and the answers that you will bring or the answers that you will give. And this is what I'm hoping that we can delve a bit deeper into on today's podcast.
Fantastic. So let me hand it over to you. Please take us through this.
So in like preparation for this, I've been thinking about, you know, if I was advising listeners, what would be, you know, some of the most important things that I would say? And so I've come up with like just five key fundamentals. And they might sound really simple at first, but actually they're really hard to do well. But if people are able to kind of unpick what this is and do it well, this sets you up for success each and every time, regardless of the sector or the role that you are trying to apply for. So I would say the first thing, the first key is to being prepared. As a freelance coach, I receive a lot of emails from clients asking me to help them to prepare for job interviews. And usually the interview is a few days away. And granted, you know, like you said, sometimes people contact you and they don't give you enough time to prepare. But generally, I think people also underestimate the amount of time that they need to prepare for job interviews. And I just think, why run the risk of being unprepared? You've done all the work to get an interview in the first place. Why not prepare? Because on the other end, when you're interviewing someone, it's really, really clear to see when a candidate isn't well prepared. It's so obvious. And it just doesn't communicate the right message about you and how you work. And so I have this mantra that I use, which is the best time to start brushing up on your interviewing skills is when you start thinking about leaving a job. So when you're starting to make a decision about, you know, yes, I'm going to leave this job, that's when you want to start your interview preparation. Wow. And interview preparation is things like, you know, practicing how to answer those standard interview questions. Tell me about yourself. Why do you think you're the right candidate? You know, knowing how to craft those answers together, because you will be asked a variation of those types of questions at every interview. Having well thought out examples for like key situational interview questions, like, can you describe a time when, or can you give me an example of when you delivered this? You know, having these examples ready. What I would advise is write these down as you're in work, you know, and something happens, write this down, keep it in a document somewhere so that when you're preparing for an interview, you don't have to think back to what you've done for the last 3 years. You've got your best experiences, your best examples of things that you've done all written down and documented. And you can just pull directly from these things. You know, prepare a range of examples that demonstrate your passion, your skills, your experience. There's so much to do to being prepared. And actually, the more prepared you are generally, the more it helps you to be more relaxed in the interview process, because it takes that pressure and that edge away. You know, you know what it is that you want to say and how you want to craft these things together. And that comes with really being prepared. And so that would be my first thing to say to people, Io, is to be prepared. Don't underestimate the process. Take it seriously and do your preparation.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay, let's go to number two.
Right. So this is a big one. And we're not going to go into like the detail of it, but it's understanding your interview questions. So a common question that I get asked is, what's the difference between the different types of interview questions and how do I know how to answer this type over this type? And I'll give you a tip. One of the things that I always suggest to people is, you know, ask the hiring manager, what type of interview will I be sitting? Sometimes they may or may not. Yes, of course. You must ask. Now, they might not always tell you because they might not have prepared that far in advance, or they might not know. But a lot of times they do know and people just don't know to ask. I'll give you a tip as well. If, for example, they say for whatever reason that they can't tell you, go back and look through the job spec. There will be keys in the the language of the job specification will give you a lot of indication into the type of interviewing that you are going to be at the type of interview. So that you are going to sit. But yeah, definitely knowing if they do let you know, it helps you to prepare and to structure the type of answers that you need to provide. I will say that it's good to know all the like the common types of interviewing, because I'm pretty sure that there'll be a mix of those, even right. if it is like a competency-based interview or a strengths-based interview, I'm sure there'll be a mix of the others. But knowing this helps you to really focus on how you're going to structure your answers and how you're going to present that information. And this also helps you to really understand what is the question asking. You know, when I'm working with clients, this is one of the things that I do. We conduct mock interviews, and I really help my clients to break down the questions that they're being asked and for them to think about it from the listener's point of view. What is the listener really interested in knowing and hearing? And then how do you structure your answer based on the type of question that it is? But if people can think about it in that way, what is it that they're really interested in knowing? What is it that they're really asking me? Sometimes that helps also. In helping you to know how to structure and answer the question. But as I said, this really could be another episode or conversation on its own. But if people are interested in knowing more, we're in the process of just uploading an ebook onto our website. It's an ebook that I've written that goes into literally every interview scenario, every type of question that you could be asked. I mean, it's really, really, it's very detailed, but very simple to read, to extract the information, and then to put it into practice. So if people are interested in knowing more about the difference between the interview types and structures, or in general, anything that I share about, anything that I talk about today, then I would really encourage them to go and check out the ebook, and that would be on the Workers' Journal. But yeah, knowing that is one way that you can also prepare, and it really helps to elevate the kind of answers that you give if you understand what the question is asking and how you're supposed to package that question. The next one is this is a good one. Okay, this might sound counterintuitive, but don't make the interview about you. So you are not the focus of the interview. The job opportunity is the focus of the interview, and the organization is the focus of the interview. The needs of the organization is the focus of the interview. Do not think that the interview is about you. Understanding that your prospective employer is really interested in knowing how are you going to deliver on the needs of this role. Therefore, focus on the key aspects of yourself that relate to the role and highlight how you are going to deliver on the needs of the role, rather than just talking about yourself. You know, as a candidate, your prospective employer, they have to be fair to the interview process. And so they're not invested in you as a person as of yet. You know, their main goal is to figure out which person is going to be the best person for this role. You know, right. I'm not saying that they don't care, you know, that they're uncaring or anything like that, but they're not personally invested in you. They're thinking about their return on their investment. And so, you know, you can let your employer know that, so really thinking and understanding this is important. Everything you say needs to come back to the needs of the role. It needs to come back to how you are going to deliver on the needs of the role, rather than just talking about yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Instead of I've sat on interviews where candidates really missed this point, and you know, they've sat for ages talking through their history or their experience or where they went to school or, you know, all this information. But I'm still sitting there going, this doesn't tell me how you're going to do this job. You know, you're just giving me a list of things. I know a lot of things about you, but it hasn't demonstrated to me that you can do this job. Wow. So everything you say has to come back to, this is why I'm the right candidate. This is why I can do this job. Yes, this is my history, but I want to show you that this is how I can use this information in this role. This is how I can demonstrate that. But people miss that final bit and they don't make that connection. And I can't do that for you. I can't say, oh, she said this, so that means that she could do that. No, unless you tell me, I can't do that for you. And instead, when candidates make the mistake of making the interview about them, the impression that it leaves me as the hiring manager is that this person is unfocused. There's no focus. They're going on and on and on. And I'm the one who's going to have to reel them in. Like, I can imagine this person on the project, you know, they'll just be going on. And they, you know, they're missing the point of why they're here or what they're meant to do. And so that's a big mistake that I think people make, is that they make the interview about them. And it's not, this is business, you know, they haven't invested in you specifically as a person yet. And so everything that you share has to be about how this demonstrates that you can do this job. And so again, this is one, it sounds easy, but it's a lot of people get this wrong. And you see this in that question, tell me about yourself. I've heard all sorts of answers to, you know.
what are some answers you've heard?
What their star signs are, or I don't know, you know, favorite foods, or, you know, how long they've been married, you know, and you're sitting there and you're like, I'm really happy for you. But, you know, you know, that's
I like fried plantains.
You'd be surprised. I mean, I've heard so much. But again, it's like, thank you for the information, but I still don't know if you're the right candidate for this job, because you've not actually listened and understood the question. You've not actually told me the bits about you that relate to the role. Or relate to how you're going to deliver on this role. And so, yeah, that's a big one that people trip up on. And this is where being prepared really helps. Figure out the parts of you that are necessary for them to know, based on the role that you are applying for, because we don't need to share our whole life story. We just need to take the bits that relate to us being able to do the role, relate to us being able to communicate the requirements of the role back to the HR manager or the hiring manager, whoever it is that you're interviewing with.
Right.
So yeah, gosh, wow. That one. I'm telling you. But this is it. If you can understand this, the practice and the process of interviewing, you can really sharpen that sword, and you can get really slick at being able to give these answers and present in a way that catches people's ears and their imaginations. But again, it goes back to being really prepared.
I don't even know what they're looking for. I just recently read a book where the author had mentioned a story of two individuals. Both were applying for a VP position at an organization. And one of them knew someone internally who said, don't use the word I, use the word we. Because our CEO loves us working as a team. But the other individual was a lot more qualified. But of course, when he's asked, you know, tell us about how you did this, he was responding with I, you know, rightfully so. He didn't end up getting the job. The other individual got the job with just that one tip of don't use I, use we, because that's what our CEO is looking for, a team player. So always bring it back to the team. So I thought that was interesting. And that one is just I guess by luck basis, that person knew someone internal in the organization. That doesn't happen all the time. But what tips can you provide that could help people be better prepared, not just for the competence aspect, but also what is it that they're looking for? So that I'm ready to provide those answers the way they like.
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, that was something that I was going to touch on as like a bonus tip. So I'll tell you something. You might not have somebody on the inside that can give you those specific tips, but if you go through their website, if you look at their social media, if you read the job description, the job specifications, if you really understand and pick you know, go through the language that they use, you will pick up on these things. You will pick up on their key terms. You will pick up on their missions, their goals, their values, and you leverage this information when you're interviewing. Mm-hmm. And so what you're describing in the example that you gave is somebody who was able to, who got a piece of information and they applied it. And the reason why they were successful was because they demonstrated a culture fit. Mm-hmm. So the culture of the organization, the culture of the CEO was, we are a team. That's part of the culture within the company. Mm-hmm. But if the other person would have done their homework, they would have seen that language. They would have understood that this is what this organization is about. This is what matters to this organization. And then you mirror that language in the interviewing process. So you might not know somebody on the inside, but there will always be information about, you know, the company that you're hiring with. And see, again, this is why it's really important to be prepared. When I'm working with candidates, we take out a pen and we highlight these things because people are writing this to give you information about them. So you need to get good at saying, what is it that they want me to know? And then you use this, you mirror this. If there's a term that they use that term when you're interviewing. You know, if there's a specific phrasing or a mission or a value, you too use that. I'll give you another tip. You can also ask the HR manager or the hiring manager, whoever is responsible for recruiting, who is going to interview me. They might not give you the person's name, but most times they do. They'll be, oh, it's, you know, Steve, blah, blah, blah from whatever. Mm-hmm. Go and look this person up. Go and look at their LinkedIn. Go and look at, you know, where they are within the organization. Go and look at, you know, what their interests are, what their position is, what they've done within the organization. Again, you use this information. This is how you demonstrate culture fit. Mm-hmm. People like people that are like them. People like people that get them. It's less work for me as a manager if I don't have to induct you into the whole culture of the organization because you get it, right? And so
that is powerful.
And this information is out there. No, it's not hidden from you. You just have to go out and look for it and get good at seeing this information, or work with someone like me and I'll pick it out for you. And I'll be like, this is what you need to be saying, because this is what they need to be hearing from you. And so, yeah, I can totally see why, you know, in your example, that person got, was hired, even though they were maybe less qualified than the other, because they were able to demonstrate that they understood the culture of the organization. So yeah, listeners, that's a really big tip. Find out, you can ask who is going to be interviewing me, and then look that person up. Look at what are their interests? What are they trying to do in the organization? And that's information that then you should be using. If they're interested in the team, emphasize how you're also interested in, you know, working as a team. If they're interested, if they're a visionary, talk about your vision for the role, you know? So you bring this in, into how you present and to how you answer interview questions.
That is fantastic. Thanks for that detailed breakdown. Listeners, please don't be like me. I just showed up. What up? Why? Tell us about yourself. I like my fans. I can't get over that. Eunice, I read a book once, and big shout out to Jimmy Telly. He wrote a book many years ago, and he said he was an HR manager in Nigeria. And one of the questions he asked was, what are your strengths? And the person said,
I'm scared.
The Lord is my strength. I'm sorry. This is a podcast, Aya. Focus. Eunice, what are you doing to me here?
That's hilarious.
The interview was like, okay, well, what are your strengths? Not the Lord's strengths.
But you'd be surprised, Ayo. I think people get so afraid of interviewing. It's like they, you know, common sense, like escapes, you know, and and just that fear of, you know, what am I going to say? And someone's judging me. And again, I tell people that you can think about it like that, or you can think about it as, you know, actually, this is a conversation. This is me sharing my story with you, and why, because of my story, I really think that I'm the best person for this role. I always say it's a conversation. It's a conversation between two people. And your job is to just communicate that in a way. Make sure the message of who you are comes across in a way that is aligned to what this company is looking for. And so kind of restructuring that and how you think about that can just help to kind of take the nerves away. And actually, the thing about interviewing is that you're both interviewing, you know, you're interviewing them. This might not be the best role or position for you. It's not just them interviewing you. You should go into this thinking, actually, is this also the right role for me or the right company to work with? So it's, you know, there's both parts to that as well.
Thanks for pointing that out. I do remember I had a conversation with someone once who turned down an opportunity at an organization because she went online, checked Glassdoor and Indeed, and she saw a lot of the commentary. And she's just like, I am not messing with my mental health. I know I'm in dire need of a job. I want something, but I'm not going to go to a place. If I'm reading online that the leaders and the managers are demeaning, they put you down and this and that, I don't want to be involved in such a thing. So she ended up just turning down the offer and saying, I will wait for something else that will come my way.
Yeah.
As an immigrant, it's usually hard to make that type of decision because you have so many people that are relying and dependent on you. I know that I've taken an opportunity and I saw the ratings that were so terrible and I was like, but because of the pressure and the desire to take care of your family and do your part, I took the opportunity. And I'll be very honest, it was a dreadful time period.
Yeah.
Needed getting up. So knowing it and saying I am strong enough to make it happen, yeah, that worked for 3 months. You know, you're just beaten down over time. So thanks for pointing that out. And sometimes immigrants have put it in a really hard, tough place to make such decisions.
Yeah.
But your mental health, your psyche, the state of your mind and so many other things are just as valuable as, you know, other key areas. And as you're making that decision, please ensure that you think about those things.
Absolutely. I agree. You know, early in my career, I kind of felt scared to turn down job opportunities. I don't know why, but as I've matured, I've kind of like you, it's not worth it. It really isn't. And, you know, my heart goes out to anybody who feels like I am in a situation and I have to take this job because I don't have other options. But I challenge that, you know, this is why it's really important to do the work beforehand. Everything we talked about in the last podcast, know what it is that you want. Because while you're wasting your time in an opportunity that's not serving you, you are missing, you know, the potential for opportunities that could be better for you. You know, if you actually do that work, you know, and understanding, I think this is another point that I was going to make, you know, when you go into an interview, understanding your value, you know, understanding what you bring as a candidate and how that is unique and important and can help this business or this organization achieve their goals, and being able to communicate that is really, really important. We all have something to offer. And you want to be in an environment where you feel like you're going to be able to add value to things. And so, I mean, yeah, for me, I really wouldn't put myself into those situations anymore. And I'm really grateful that I'm in a position in my life where I don't have to, but I do understand that, you know, it's hard out there. And especially when you're new in a job or a country, you know, or an industry, you've got to sometimes grind and make the most out of every situation, but be prepared, do the work like we talked about beforehand so that you know what you're getting into. Have that exit strategy planned out. You know, and if you're going to go into a situation like that, then figure out ahead of time, how can I make this work for me? Even if it's just going to be 3 months.
Right.
Who's this contact that I need to make, you know, or who I'm going to leave with a reference? Who's that reference going to be? Or, you know, do come out of it with something so that you're not just going to come out feeling deflated or that you've lost at the end of it, but have some sort of plan in place. But just so while I while this is on my mind, so I don't forget, going back to, you know, focusing on the value that you are going to bring, you know, your prospective employer, they're a business, and they've got key business goals in mind. And so, like every business, their ears will be tuned into outcomes. And you can steer an interview into your favor by talking about, you know, the outcomes that your prospective employer can expect to achieve through you. Again, kind of like the last point, people say a lot of stuff and they waffle a lot of terms, like, you know, I'm a great listener and I'm a great team player and you've got excellent communication skills, but they don't actually relate anything back to tangible outcomes that tell me, okay, this is the quality of the candidate in front of me. And so instead of saying, you know, I'm, you know, great project manager with strong communication skills, say, gosh, off the top of my head, say, you know, I was in this particular situation, the team was struggling with this. And so I use these aspects of my communication to bring about, you know, a 10, 20% change in this particular situation. The outcome was the team were performing better as a result. We were able to see. We're able to retain customers by 15% over a 6-month, you know, actually give me tangible outcomes that help me to understand the type of employee you will be. That's so much more valuable than just saying I'm a great project manager and I have great communication skills. Mm-hmm. Because this helps me to understand, okay, this is what this person's going to do if we bring them in into the role. And then a big one. There's so many things that people can do to really help them to stand out. Like simple things like when you're researching the company, look at their areas of weakness. Where are they trying to go? You know, what's potential? What new markets can they reach? What are their potential to grow in new areas? This is all information that you should be leveraging in the interviewing process. You know, if a candidate came to me and said, you know, I really understand that as a business that you'd love to grow in this particular area. And, you know, over the last 6 months, I've been developing my skills in this exact area. Or this is a situation that, you know, this is a, you know, back in my home country, this is something that I did really well. And I would love to help the organization move forward in this area. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Thank you, please. Somebody who's going to help, who understands our unique positioning, our, you know, what we're struggling with as an organization, and they've got a plan or an idea in place to help us. That's so much more attractive than, you know, someone who just comes in and doesn't really understand what it is that we do as a company or an organization or what we're struggling with or how they're going to help us to grow. And so, you know, again, use the story of who you are and how your positioning can help them to address their needs or their weaknesses, how you are going to add value to them. Really simple things.
It sounds like you're basically like a consultant looking to come pitch to get a job. Mm-hmm. Because that's a lot of what consultants are doing when they're looking to get a client for a particular project. A lot of the things that you're sharing about the research, understanding the needs and the concerns, and then being able to provide, this is what we've done for others, this is what I can do for you. I like that. I think that is so brilliant. This is awesome. So here's another thing for you. You hear this whole, okay, so tell us about your weakness. I think that's like dumbest question in the whole world, but that's just my personal opinion. But how can people position themselves to answer that as best as possible? And then I've heard people ask around, you know, what was the mistake that was made at a previous role and things like that. On one hand, it's like, okay, do I become too real? And then it's like, oh, heck no, we're not bringing this person in. Mm-hmm. How do you approach those questions? Because they're, I've never been able to figure those ones out.
That's a good question. I actually really like that question because it says a lot.
Really? Oh wow!
It says a lot about the candidate. Yeah, absolutely. Again, because people can make the mistake of telling you, you know, the worst situation that's happened to them, like, please don't do that. Or they can, you know, you can know, you know, they're lying because, you know, they say,
I have more weakness.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. My biggest weakness is I'm so committed to every project that I, no, it's not, you know, no, it's not. Tell the truth, John.
Do you lose points for giving questions, giving answers like that? Like, I'm so committed. I'm so awesome. You know, when I see my name, I just don't know. Like, do you lose points or?
You don't get the points that you should get. So instead of me awarding 4 points, I can't, because you haven't fully answered the question. Now, this is, again, one of these questions where on the surface, it sounds like they're asking you about your greatest weakness. But actually what they're really asking you is, how do you address problems? If there's a problem, what is the process that you use to overcome that problem? What they're really trying to get at is, how does your mind work? How do you overcome things? How do you handle difficult situations? This is why it says a lot about you as a candidate. And so I always advise, be truthful, okay? Think about a real character weakness. Or a real weakness in your skills or your qualification. So tell the truth. Do not talk about the worst thing that's ever happened to you, but don't pretend that everything is perfect and nothing terrible. Choose a weakness that relates to the role. So don't choose something that's completely out of context, but choose something that relates to the role, and it's the role that you're applying for. But the key is, talk about what you've done to address that is the key. So for example, off the top of my head, you know, weakness would be, you know, I you know, really struggle to speak up and to offer suggestions during team meetings. And I know this is really important because the role requires this particular skills. And so what I did was, over the last 6 months, I put myself forward to go to, I don't know, speaking workshops, or, you know, I've done this particular thing. And this is what I've learned in that process. And now I'm able to apply what I've learned in that process. And I feel a lot more confident in team meetings, speaking up in team meetings. It's still difficult, but I'm able to do it more successfully and deliver the message across. And as a result, this is what's happened. And so that's basically how you would answer that type of question. It's thinking about, what have I done to address the weakness, and what's the result of that, and then that communicates a lot to me as the hiring manager about the type of person that you are.
Eunice, I have so many wonderful stories. I remember man, as you kept speaking, I was trying to hold the laughter in, because I remembered there was an individual I interviewed once, and I threw the weakness question, and she said, you know, I like to set it straight. If anybody says something to me, I give it back to them before they, like, who do they think they are? I let them know what it is and how it is. Nobody messes with me, because I keep it real. I was like, okay then. Thank you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
that's how you should not answer that. Mm-hmm. Like, it tells you a lot about people. Absolutely. That's, please don't answer that question like that.
Okay, so any other points around interviews that we should be aware of, that we should know?
Lastly, I think I would say, you know, don't make any assumptions. I mean, I have to confess, when in my last role, when I was, we would, every so often, we'd be interviewing for new projects and stuff. And the process was, you know, HR kind of, or if we used a recruitment company, they kind of screen candidates, and then we would get the candidates that they had shortlisted. And I was always so busy that either like the day before or the morning off, I'm going to tell the truth, you know, I would scan through, you know, their CV or their application form, or just before they came in, I'd have a quick look, or, you know, check on my computer, who's next and whatever. And so what I'm saying is, don't make the assumption that that people sitting in front of you have carefully studied your CV or your job application form. Instead, bring these with you. And when you are bring these with you so you can hand out to them. But more importantly, you know, actually talk through these things. Don't think that they've looked through your CV and they've remembered all the key information. I've sat in interviews where people are like, you know, using, you know, when I worked for, you know, this company as the CBJ of, and I'm like, CBJ, wait, what was that again? CB. And it's so distracting, you know, and actually I wish they would just say, as the this or as, you know, because they're assuming that I remember all the details within their CV, and it doesn't, it actually takes away, and the whole interview is so fast that sometimes you haven't got a chance to say, wait, what did you mean by this again, and what was this again? So no shorthands, explain things, you know, don't say as you remember, or, you know, as I previously mentioned, yeah, as I said in my application form. No, tell me, you know, because I might not have been the person that looked through your application form. So always tell and have your CV to hand. Don't make any assumptions.
I was going to say, I feel like now that I sit on the other side, interviewers, from what I've seen and my personal experience, they're not sitting waiting for the interview to happen. You're going from one meeting to another You finish your meeting probably a minute before, 2 minutes before, and you're jumping into this meeting. And it's one of those, okay, let me prepare my mind. All right, I'm here. Who are we interviewing again?
Exactly.
You know, okay, where's that person's resume? Exactly. HR, where are the questions? We've emailed the questions five times. Okay, can I just have a copy of it? Yeah. So I like what you're saying. I've been in that position as well several times. I think as a candidate, you are sitting and preparing for a longer time. Mm-hmm. You think the others are as well, but no, this is being plugged into the middle of their busy day. And they're squeezing time to make this happen. So they don't have as much preparation as you do. So thanks for sharing that.
And also you're interviewing 10 people, you know, like even if I did go through everyone's, you know, resume or their application form, I'm trying to remember information for 10 different people. It's, you know, make their job easier by here's my CV. And as you can see on paragraph 3 or, you know, or actually then retelling me that information, and don't assume that I remember everything about you, because it would be such a shame if you're assuming that I knew key bits about you and actually I didn't, you know. And I think just make the process as easy as possible for the listener by, you know, actually stating things clearly and don't use acronyms, actually say what they are. And and it's fine to remind them, you know, as it's mentioned on my CV, and I'll say it again here, I've done this and this and this, and then relate things back to the role. Again, just make our job easy. Don't give us any excuses not to mark you, you know, to not give you full marks, you know. I think that there's so much that I could say, and this is why I ended up writing the ebook, because there's so many scenarios and situations when it comes to interviewing. But it really is understanding, you know, how am I going to deliver the message of who I am and make it relate to the needs of the role. And if you can do that, then I'm sure you'll be fine at job interviews.
Let us know once you've gotten that job opportunity so that we can celebrate with you.
Yay.
And once again, the reason why we didn't want to rush this was really want to just take our time, which each step of the process provide as much information. So please don't just listen to the podcast. Don't just be a listener of the podcast. Actually put into action some of the things that you're learning here. Put it into action. You will see the difference and you will see that result that you're looking to get out. Eunice, the website that people can go to get a copy of the ebook and also to get to read some of your blogs and all the other tips that you've written.
Yes. So you can find me on theworkersjournal.com. And as Ayo said, everything's on there. So all our blog posts, our ebook, our LinkedIn optimization guide, the how to job hunt successfully, everything's on there. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can get in touch with me through there as well.
Wonderful. Okay, Eunice, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. I probably laughed a bit too much. You brought back some wonderful memories that I've not thought of in a while. It's awesome. Thanks for being on the program. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Why don't you do us a favor and share this podcast with a friend or colleague? The Immigrant View is brought to you by immigrantsnetworks.com.
Hi, I'm Nick Narani, founder and CEO of Immigrant Networks. Listen, if you're an immigrant or an international student looking to find a job and expand your network in Canada, Immigrant Networks is for you. Immigrant Networks, we say, networking to get working. It is a community built by immigrants just like you to help you overcome one of the biggest challenges that immigrants have when they come here, and that is finding and retaining a job. Visit our website today and get matched within days with someone from your profession and learn and grow. Immigrant Networks, networking to get working.
Music provided by bentsound.com.